take my place in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, do we have any additions, deletions, or a motion to accept the agenda as written?
A motion to accept it.
I'll second.
Opportunity for public comment, anything that's not on the agenda? Seeing none. 4.1, consideration of county maintenance contract. So here we are again.
Well, this is my doing, suggesting a special meeting. First of all, I apologize, I wasn't at last month's board meeting when this was discussed the first time round. And my biggest concern is that since the contract was not signed, I didn't really want to have a discussion like we anticipate having tonight at our June meeting and not coming to an agreement or any way, shape, or form to sign the contract at that time, because it would, if that were the case, it would leave us with maybe 2 weeks left in the contract to get something done. So I thought it would be better to have a discussion prior to that meeting, and here we are. So
it also sounded like we had a lot of direction for Kelly, which it looks like she followed through with what we were asking.
Well, we've been, Kelly's been contacting Leah and Roger at the county level. There's an email here that you can see. First of all, reached out for clarification as to the stipulation. I think that stipulation, that paragraph that mentions the going back to 2% if the county doesn't get their CPI increase and all that kind of stuff, was the main focus of getting clarification on. And so there's two emails here. One is has at the bottom page 3 of 4, and Kelly is saying that I'm copying the language from the contract below with a brief explanation. Oh, this is a response from Roger. Let me back up. And so she basically asked him, for clarification. And so in years in which the county does not offer a pay increase equal to the CPI to their employees, the planned 3% increase will be canceled and compensation will remain at the rates outlined in the July 19, 2019 payment chart, increasing at a rate of 2%. So his explanation is that if the county faces financial shortfalls and we cannot pay increases per MOUs in parentheses to county employees, the contract will revert back to the 2% versus the 3%. As long as the county continues paying employees increase based on the CPI per MOUs, again in parentheses, the county will continue paying 3%. We're still unclear as to whether they actually pay those annually or if it's something that maybe the vote.
Are you talking their raises?
Yes, their raises. Still unclear if it's something that within their budget they vote on annually to get increases. So unfortunately, we don't have that clarified. I want to go over the chart that Kelly made explaining our costs and how it relates to the contract. But in another email here on May 8th, Roger sent back, he says the county stance is that if we cannot pay our employees more than the default 2%, we will not pay any outside contractors or MOUs more than the 2%. The employees get 2% or CPI, whichever is higher. The county has to ensure that they're taking good care of their employees. They're all external, as we are any external entities. It's not new language for your contract. We've added this to all our contracts. part of our board priority, employee excellence and organizational resilience.
What do they mean it's not new? It's new to our contract. That wasn't in our last one.
You're right, this is not. You're right, it is not, it is new to our contract.
So, I mean, I guess it's maybe.
Something.
It's definitely new for the county in the last 5 years.
Yes.
Which, I mean, I understand, but I think what they're not understanding too is that this isn't just a, the percentage increase just isn't for staffing. It's for supplies and materials as well.
Right, and I don't really understand why they tie that stipulation to just basically a service contract. Because, you know, it's like you say, it's a whole thing, it's all the maintenance. And basically up to us to pay wages within that contract. So we went ahead and we made a counter proposal, but like I say, on May 13th, the email that's there, that's marked 104, page 104, is what we sent back to them. And it says, I'll just read it. So first and foremost, we want to say that we're happy to have a contract and we are proud of the work we do to maintain the county property for the benefit of the community and the entire county. We as staff have been directed to get some clarification on one particular item, which is the stipulation on page 4 regarding any pay increases and potentially falling back to 2% a year per year. Our questions are, how often is the CPI increase given, or more importantly, not given? As an amendment, is this a higher yearly budget item? If increases are not given and our agreement falls back to 2%, does it then remain at 2% for the remainder of the contract term? Or is that also a fiscal year decision? Our board asks that this statement be more clearly written in the agreement. We would like to move forward with renewing the contract with the following amendment consideration. Option one, 4% annual increase with the stipulation that we take 2% on any year that the county employee did not receive CPI. We ask that the stipulation language be more clearly stated, that the increase decrease is an annual decision. Option two, 3% annual increase without stipulation. Option three, 2% annual increase or CPI, whichever county employees receive annually. And thank you for your time and consideration. So that was on the 13th of May, and we have not heard any, gotten any response to any of those counter proposals. Everything down there seems to be moving just incredibly slow. And I don't know if it's slow, there's a lot of turnover. I don't know if they're shorthanded, what the deal is. I call Quincy, I call Brian Bell, I call people, I don't get any response. Kelly's sitting here emailing and gets no response.
Well, I'm glad she's putting it in writing, I want to say that, because I like having the paper trail, and I like the wording that she did on this email, because it really spells out what we asked for, the clarification we asked for.
Well, that's good, thank you.
I think at the last meeting, didn't we already approved staff to negotiate whatever came out of this was what we were good with, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It sounds like you haven't really had the opportunity to actually
negotiate.
No,
that's
only
just the email thread.
Correct. But I would just like to, you know, obviously discuss this further. I would like to have some kind of clear direction to sign a contract, maybe not to say prior to next month's meeting, but for have our, if we can come to some kind of agreement tonight or some kind of conclusion tonight as to what we would take and what we wouldn't take, then, you know, my main focus is to sign a contract. It really is. And if we go over these numbers, the one thing I would just simply point out is that the difference between the 3% in the in the contract versus the 2% is like $1,100. So I don't know how really important it is to quibble over $1,100 in light of risking the time running out on the entire contract. And I was also thinking that if we had, just as sake of argument, if last month the contract was signed and the county has a signed contract, then we're good for 5 years, whatever the terms. If they don't get their increase, we go back to 2%. If they get their increase, we're at 3%, everything's fine, right? And then if for some reason, like they did in the past, the one time, they want to cancel our contract, then for them, it's going to be a budget process. It's going to have to go to the Board of Supervisors, and it's going to have to go through that whole process, right? Because we will have had a signed contract. So my concern in that regard is that if we don't sign a contract and June 30th rolls around, then the county may not even consider offering the contract to us. And it can be a situation where, I'm going to sneeze, you know, in that event, they can say, we offered a contract, you didn't sign the contract, right? So they kind of get off the hook in a sense, a little easier. And so I don't know if I don't know if there's any underlying issues there that maybe they're trying to go down that path where they want to wait us out. Where they,
I don't think so.
You know, I don't think that it's devious.
No,
I don't think so either.
Based on conversations we've had in the past with with their management, you know, Tracy and all that.
And Tracy loves what we do here.
And I and everybody.
Yeah, but still, my experience has been that new people come in and they want to play hard. Mm-hmm. And try to prove their worth and, you know, hardball people. So this could be part of
it. We met with Roger back in April. We asked him for the 3%. And I mean, we did get our 3%, right?
Yeah.
But the stipulation is kind of what's hanging things up, I feel like. It's a little bit unclear. You know, it obviously states a possibility of going back to 2%. But, you know, better than no contract. If we go over these numbers, these were here at last month's. Did you go over them? Were they understandable?
Yes.
Yeah.
So for me, what I'd like to point out is that the percentages, I feel like, are much more accurate with the labor force or the employee costs. And then the top page one, the top section is the equipment expenses and whatnot, and I feel like those are pretty accurate. They're actually broken out into county and whatnot. But the combined cost at the percentages of our employees and the cost of the equipment and repair maintenance expense that we have actually comes to $121,585 in this projection. And the county contract at 3% is $122,640. So it really, I feel like we're not behind at all. So I don't know if that was discussed or if that was made clear.
Yeah, I think we had a discussion, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
It was like, well, we want to, having more percentage, we can actually bring our employees up to above McDonald's wages.
That's true. But what I would suggest to that is the county is not entirely responsible for our wages. They're only responsible for a percentage of our wages.
Right.
And this illustrates that what we get from the county covers the wages that we currently are paying, and this is actually with through next year with a 50-cent raise for everyone. Okay, so this is through 24-25, the first year of the contract, at 3%, we're this is at, our total expense is 121,585, and at 2%, we're at 121, we're $200 less than that, $100 less than that, and at 3%, we're over like $900 in the first year.
James, I think one of the things that we were hoping for is, as bargaining information to give them, was partly how much lower our employees are paid than the county people doing the same jobs. So that was one of our things, was hoping to move them up, because we all know that if they had to come out here and do what you guys do, it would be so much more expensive.
Right.
That was just one of the things that we hoped to throw in there for persuasion cases.
Right, you and know, I remember, and Kelly and I actually, and so I, in hindsight, Kelly and I stressed that pretty hard at our meeting with Roger. And then when I saw that this stipulation was there tied to their wages, I was thinking, wow, maybe they kind of got the wrong impression that we're like, we want to give all our employees, you know, we want to bring them all up to $20+ an hour, and we need more in our county contract. And they're equating that to higher wages here.
That's kind of what I was getting at earlier. It's like, it's not, the percentage increase isn't just for raises for staff. It's
sure. It's cost of,
it's fuel. Cost of the business.
Yeah. I mean, labor, you know, the equipment costs are going up substantially, right?
Of course.
Over the years,
of course,
so.
Yeah. But in regards to the wages, I would caution that if we were to be at county employees' wage scale, they wouldn't need us for the contract.
Yeah.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And
I
mean,
if they got maintenance guys over there for $20 an hour, and we're at 16, and now they're going to pay us $20 an hour, why would they pay us the same?
Well, they got to drive all the way out here.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you know, this is something that I'm cautioning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
I agree with you on that 100%. I mean, I'm just saying we need to get up with, you know, to compete. I'm not necessarily saying compete with county, but compete with, you know,
well,
fast food friggin'.
Yeah.
You know, that whole, okay, let's just,
right.
McDonald's, McDonald's screwed everything up, didn't they?
Yeah,
right?
Well,
I mean,
whatever.
It's not.
Yeah, any fast food, right, is important.
Well,
but yeah, I know what you're saying.
The whole idea, I mean, I don't know if you saw or paid attention or saw, because we're up here, but I don't know if it was a Senate race, a representative race, the one that Steve Garvey was in. If you saw Steve Garvey on the TV with, you know, running for a government position, there was four candidates in that race. There was one lady from Oakland, who was a councilwoman running for, I'm going to say, senator, a state senator. She insisted, and she said it just as straight face as you possibly could, minimum wage need to be $50 an hour. You know, and it's like, well, how can that be? Just how can it be? It just can't. And then this $20 an hour thing is, I mean, my wife has been at Somerville Elementary for 24 years. She's just now making $22 an hour.
Yeah.
And people come in now that have been there a year and making what she's making.
Right.
And it's just, when you look at that, it skews everything. It's just, it just does.
I think those people down there, because knowing so many people and so many of my nieces and nephews live in Oakland and San Francisco, they're talking about what it really costs to live there.
Yeah.
Mick and I
sure.
both had really good salaries. We couldn't afford to live there unless we stayed with his mother and helped her like we did.
Yeah.
So I think it's not so much they're saying we need to pay people $50 an hour as that's what it costs to live there.
Well, she was
and have workers.
My concern is that I think the county's coming on some hard budget years.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they have a housekeeper or maintenance that's full-time there and they need to make their position whole, that potentially, you know, then they start looking at cutting contracts. And, you know, then figuring out how the cost of fuel and equipment and all that rolls in, and just, the county's not gonna get cut FTEs, you know, if they can do away with the contract and make an FTE full. Does that make sense?
Well, I like to think that this last time we went through this a few years ago, that with all the phone calls we made and the letters that we wrote and the people that we talked to, they realize the value of this particular contract. And I hope that they would not consider cutting this particular contract in the future. The reality is, when they look at it, and it's, you know, $120,000 contract, but if they have any interest at all at maintaining this property, as soon as they put someone in a truck and send them up even once a week, it's going to cost them $50,000 over the course of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whatever that costs them, they're not saving $120,000.
Yeah.
They're only saving potentially half or whatever, you know, and I don't know if they understood that or not. I had a conversation with Debbie Batista, I want to say a year ago, and I think it was when Kelly was new and we were down there talking about some bookkeeping issues and whatnot. And we were talking about this situation, and she pointed out that we really have no way of getting more revenue. We don't necessarily sell things or produce things or have any kind of outside contracts of our own. And I recently called her again and asked her pretty specifically, it was occurring to me that when the district was formed, right, and it's not exactly the way it's stated, but we basically get 1% of property tax or parcel tax. We get a 1% of property tax within our district, which is the tax revenue that we collect for our budget. And it occurred to me that if the district was set up back in the early 50s at 1%, and we're 70 years down the road, maybe we can get 2%, right? I mean, last year we got 212 in taxes, and one more percent would be another 212, right? And I asked her, and she said, no, it doesn't quite work that way. Or she said she didn't think that that was possible, but she said that we would have to look at, she said there's 2,600 people within your district, so maybe, you know, 1,000 parcels or whatever. And it would be an assessment that we would do. And so I've been trying to call Quincy to follow up on that, and I have not been, it's really frustrating, but there was a time when she called me back, but she hasn't. Anyway, my point is, I think that rather than trying to get, you know, 4%, 5%, whatever it takes from the county to raise our wages, you know, to what we would like them to be, we need to pursue this other avenue of a tax, an assessment, something along those lines. If I can get that information together,
I don't agree with that at all. I think that's kind of the last thing we need to do after our fight over the CSD and our refusal to play nice with the sanitary district and take all the money they already have sitting there for us. There were plenty of people who were for that thought that was a good idea, and we decided not to do that. So taxing more, I don't think that's going to fly.
No, I don't think that's a good idea. Yeah, I'm always against taxes, so it doesn't matter what it's about.
Okay.
Yeah. To finish the discussion about taking property and taxes?
Not really, and like I said, I'd like to talk to, I don't know if Quincy has any input on that. I would think that Debbie would be the one to talk more about, to talk to the property tax issue. She said no. I mean, I haven't mentioned it to Anaya. I heard somebody said Anaya was asking the state for more, a bigger percentage of tax dollars recently.
Probably for roads.
Yeah.
I was talking about doing that.
I don't know if that's in general or whatever. But, I mean, I don't, like I said, if that is feasible, even a half of a percent, you know, if we're at 1% getting 200,000, another half percent is 100,000. You know, and I feel like if that were the case, if in some way we could make an arrangement like that, And I'm going to go back to the 2% as an example, because again, we got 212 last year. That would be 424. It would double, right? 400,000. Now, that would mean to say that that 200,000 that's being, that we're, you know, the other 1% that the county's collecting is going into their general fund, wherever it's going, I don't know. But at the same time, they're paying us 120 plus in a maintenance agreement. So if we can get 200 plus in taxes, we're 80 ahead of what we're getting on the maintenance agreement. And we wouldn't necessarily, I'm not going to say we wouldn't need the maintenance agreement, because we would not take care of the county property for free. But if we doubled our tax revenue, and to make it appealing to the county where they're losing the 200 on this hand, but they're gaining the 120 on the maintenance agreement, so we would have a lesser maintenance agreement. And I would think that we would just take care of the grounds and have not have any buildings. We don't want to take care of the hall, we don't want to take care of the library, youth center, any of that kind of stuff, but just the grounds. And maybe even go as far as ask them to give us the park, give us the ball field, give us those things. So I mean, I don't know, I'm trying to think of other ways to increase our revenues.
So if you go ahead and do less, you're gonna have to let somebody go?
We wouldn't be doing less. Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, if for whatever reason we didn't take care of the park and stuff, we wouldn't need as many people as we have. That's true.
That's what we did when we pretty much had the agreement canceled last time.
From my point, it's like your people do a good job. Mm-hmm. They must be happy, because I would not. If I'm looking forward 50 cents a year, sorry, I'm gone. Mm-hmm. If I got to raise a family, or I, you know, my standard of living, no. But for people that work here, I don't know what their situation is, but for a part-time job, and maybe, you know, somebody's retired and working full-time because that's what they want to do.
Well, all of our employees are content, I have to say. And I, you know, we talk about it occasionally, that the flexibility that we have here, the, you know, I mean, if you need a day off, you get a day off. If you want to go home in the afternoon, you whatever, go home in the afternoon. As long as things are getting done, right? So there's that. And to me, that has a value as much or more than a dollar an hour or whatever. We pay benefits. I feel like it's a good. Would it be nice if it was more? Of course it would. But, you know, again, I'll go back to the point that I made where the county is only really responsible for a percentage of those wages, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah.
And maybe if we want to research other ways to increase our own revenues through taxes, through the increase in the percentage of the taxes, or through an assessment or whatever the case may be, then we should do that. And you know, even if we really, really, however strongly you feel about it, wanted to raise wages, you could maybe not to say, well, it would be deficit spending. You could go into the general fund $5,000 a year. And that's not the best idea.
No, but isn't it true that we're sort of rebuilding by covering our projects as we go along?
See, I don't understand.
We will be rebuilding our general fund, as far as I can tell, based on Kelly's recent numbers.
Oh, yeah.
As we go along, because of the fundraising and because we are covering our projects.
Yes, and those projects, the theater project, I feel like is going to be well under the budget that we originally estimated. As we get closer, we're not going to make our deadline, by the way, but we're getting closer, and I don't think we're going to spend nearly as we had it estimated at 266. I'm thinking it's going to be more like 200, maybe.
Yeah.
The the community center, we did, I think the final, the last totals were at like 69,000 where we budgeted 75. However, we don't have a hood system yet. And part of that, I had the fire inspector come and he pointed out that the three of the doors are not correct. The one door at Reed Park side, the door at the Frontier side, and the kitchen door open in. I'm supposed to open out. But we have signage that say the doors need to remain unlocked when the building is occupied. So he was happy with that.
Since you mentioned that building, which I've been spending time in and really enjoying, and I was surprised there aren't fans in the bathrooms. Is that because of the way that they would have been had to have been cut in, or I mean, that seems strange to me, no fans in the bathrooms.
Honestly, really didn't even consider it. We could put fans in there. Sorry. Oversight. My bad.
No worries. Alright, so getting back to our contract. What does the board have any further questions for James?
Yeah. So if you sign a contract at 3%, you're going to get 3% per year?
We will get 3% per year unless the county, this is what we're talking about. There's a stipulation within the contract that if the county cannot give their employees their annual wage increase that amounts to more than 2%, then they will reduce our contract for that year back to 2%. So we'll get our 2%. We asked for 3. It's going to start out at 3. But in consecutive years, we potentially would get only 2% for any given year. Does that make sense? I mean, this is what it says. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions for James?
So Kelly actually invited Roger and Leah and Tracy to be here tonight.
I do know they had mandatory training all day with an attorney. So
okay.
For 8 hours. Just
probably all at the bar right now.
You said it, I didn't. All right, board discussion. I mean, I got my questions answered in talking to James and a little bit Tracy Riggs about that statement. And it cleared it up for me as far as understanding it better. I'm just, like I said, my big concern is, as James said, if we don't sign a contract, then we won't have a contract. And when they go into budgets, if they are looking to cut things, then we aren't an existing contract. So.
So, Tracy told you the same thing in the email.
What's
that? They can't give any service contract more than 2% every year. Is it the same explanation she was giving?
It's basically the same thing Roger said in this email here.
She's backing that.
Yeah, she's basically,
Roger.
Well, I mean, that's,
I get it.
You know, when Roger mentioned that that's standard in our contract, it may very well be that he only came on the job, you know, 6 months ago or whatever, maybe a little bit longer.
Yeah, about a year maybe.
And he may not really realize that contract, you know, having that contract made 4 years prior, it didn't. He did say that particular stipulation is now in all of their contracts.
Yes.
But this can't be like a normal contract. Like, we have a different relationship, I would say, at the county. And just because that's a policy or whatever, that doesn't mean it gets before the board and the board approves at 3 or 4%. I really feel like they get over both their policy.
Yeah, the board could.
Yeah.
You would think, but I think, like I said, the explanation that we got that it's in all of them then take it out of one, then under your pressure to take it out of others.
Others. And I think
and
that
this came up once before when we questioned the last statement in the contract that said, you know, that says to the effect that if the county's budget fails, we're not paying you. You don't get your contract. And we asked them to take that out, and they're like, no.
Which I still don't agree with, because when you sign a contract for construction project, they're entitled to that money, right? I mean, that's how it goes, right? You don't just start construction. Oh, hey, we're going to terminate your contract.
Yeah, we can't afford it.
Okay, well, pay me my contract out. I mean, you can't do that if you're going to go build something for them, right?
So I feel like we're getting buffaloed. We're getting to the services.
We're getting, definitely.
Well, the difference, though, really, I mean, and I'm not arguing with you.
The
difference is, if you're building a structure or something, you've got a long term, you've got a commitment. This basically is you
well,
can almost say it's day to day in a sense.
It's a 5-year
term
agreement that's day by day.
Well, you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
Comparison.
Yeah,
I
get you.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You know. And by the way, when this first came into the office, I brought it to Brad, and he read it, and he said he had no problem with it. You know, and I asked him specifically about the stipulation. He said, he said the way it's written, so there's nothing wrong with it. It's within the, so what he said was that being within the contract is something that you're going to agree to, or you have it removed. So it's, you know, because in and of itself, it's not a issue or a
this
problem.
This is one that I didn't notice before. Funding availability number 29 is mutually agreed that if the county budget does not appropriate sufficient funds, this agreement shall be of no further force and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no liability to pay us for funds already.
That's
spent.
What we were just talking about.
Well, I thought we were talking about the one that was there, but terminate, and that's
That's the one. That's the one that I'm saying we asked them in the past to remove that.
Okay.
And they said
there was the other one that bothered me before. Now we got two. Perfect.
Well, and again, you know, we're dealing with government, which...
I have a question for the board. Now, we talked about the taxes, so that's not necessarily tax increases. We go to the county and say, hey, if you give us this property, but then you turn around and give us a 1% yearly allotment, then we can be done with everything.
That's a lot of risk.
I'm not exactly clear. So whatever taxes or whatever are relative to those properties that would come along with the property?
Yeah, exactly.
But we would have to know what all those numbers are.
It's got to be run through the county like every other special district is, and they're still going to take their portion.
We get our portion, right? And it's just to say, hey, look, give us an extra 5% in the property and go away. Ultimately, it's doing the same thing, because that's the amount of money that we're getting anyways. But that could vary as taxes go up.
And then how do we pay insurance on the hall, or does the FW pay that?
Well,
those kind of things.
My question is okay, well, the hall just got a new roof. How much does that cost? Like $400,000 or $500,000?
No, I would not consider the building.
Just curious, if the park and the ball field, not excluding the building.
Yeah.
Because then that's also a benefit, excluding the building. Give us the property or 5% increase on taxes.
My thought is why would they give tax money away?
They're kind of doing it anyways. That's the argument.
In a sense,
they're taking a big administrative fee, right? They take a big chunk for administrative fees.
Regardless, they take money.
Are you talking about the tax revenue that we get?
Yeah, they run it.
We pay. If you're referring to the admin fee, that is a bill that we pay to the auditor's office. Simply for the person that's sitting there.
Yeah, it's for the
work.
The warrant.
Calculating the amount of taxes.
Do we have batteries for this?
Yeah. the amount of taxes that come to
the AAA.
You don't feel like it's worth discussing it?
That makes me a little, I mean,